Fred, will physical time travel be possible if we can harness some of these things that we've been talking about?
It's certainly theoretically possible. It's not outside of the realm of our current understanding of the theory that involves space, time, and matter. It's within that. Specifically, there are two different kinds of time travel that we can talk about. One is the normal kind, like you see in the movies. Goes back to the future and meets his mom and pop before they had him, so to speak. That kind of, you know, silliness in the movies, which is a lot of fun. That's physical time travel. In order to do that, you would have to be able to create a kind of time machine. And that time machine would consist of really a wormhole, which is a black hole with two ends, so to speak, which has been separated and pulled apart. By the way, if you want to read more about this, you can read a book by Kip Thorne from Caltech, who wrote a book about this kind of wormhole. You can also read my book, Yoga of Time Travel, which explains in detail with pictures just how you would do this kind of time machine. And you could then separate the two ends, the two parts of the wormhole, and put them one in the future and one would actually be in the past. And you could loop. You could go from one to the other. Even though as time went on and both ends of the wormhole would be moving through time, you could still go back to a relative past or relative future. But you would have to build one of those things. And the problem is wormholes are unstable. They tend to squeeze together because they're nothing on the inside, and vacuums suck.
Yeah.
So they would suck it closed. So they have negative pressure. So you would have to put in some kind of something that would hold it open. And I think Kip Thorne came up with the idea of something called exotic matter, which we don't know what that even is. But it would be something which would have positive pressure and would keep the hole from collapsing in on itself. It's possible that dark energy in the universe may have this property. You know, there's two kinds of dark stuff in the universe. There's dark matter and there's dark energy. And the dark matter is what keeps the galaxies from flying apart because there's not enough matter to keep them moving like they're moving. And there's dark energy, which keeps the universe moving apart, accelerating as it goes. So dark energy would be a kind of repulsive kind of an effect, and dark matter would be kind of a negative, attractive kind of effect. So we'd have to have some way to capture dark energy to keep these wormholes open. It's not impossible. If we can ever figure out just exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about dark matter and dark energy, we might be able to build one of these things.
All right. And when you have talked about the Big Bang, earlier again, we talked about nothingness, which is difficult for me to comprehend, but if there was a Big Bang in nothingness, how the heck did that happen?
That's a good question. We're playing with that. Roger Penrose has the notion that there wasn't just one Big Bang. There's been bangs going on ad infinitum from the beginning of something, which is not time. So there's been a lot of bangs. Bang, crunch, bang, crunch, bang, crunch, or that the ending of the universe is just the start of another one. There's the whole idea that the universe expands and then crunches. There's that kind of picture. Right now it doesn't seem to be the case because the universe seems to be accelerating in its expansion. But we're not really quite sure what's going on there. What caused that to happen is, I don't know. Ask anybody. We don't know. How did it start? I haven't got any idea. I mean, we can say, you know, God did it, but, you know, that doesn't really answer it from a physicist's point of view. Something about the nature of vacuum. Here's what we do know. Nothing is unstable. That is, empty space itself has a tendency to bubble and produce matter and antimatter, time loops. Space-time vacuum itself makes time loops. They just bubble in, bubble out, bubble in, bubble out, bubble in, bubble. That's called, we can feel the effect of that. It's called vacuum polarization. We can see it happening, but it's part of the vacuum itself. The vacuum itself is not just sitting there with its not doing anything. It's bubbling, 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 bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, like Macbeth's witches. It's constantly bubbling and making matter and antimatter time loops throughout everywhere. So this seems to be, maybe that's what the universe did when it first started. There might have been a giant bubble. And the question is, what happened to the antimatter?
Exactly. Where'd it go? And with an
understanding, there's a what's called a break in the symmetry here, and that broken symmetry may have trapped matter, and so that there was slightly more matter than antimatter. In other words, there was more electrons going forward in time than going backward in time, and why that happened, we don't know.
With an understanding in all of this, what does that do to somebody's life? How can they use this to make their own existence a little better?
Well, the first and the most important thing is to realize that all this creation and annihilation, all these activities are going on inside of you, which means that you can't help but have new ideas, new feelings, new experiences. You can't help it. It's going to happen. So life is continually going to be exciting for you once you begin to recognize that that's where your life really abounds. It's there. It's right there. It's going on inside of you. The Big Bang is going on right inside of you right now. So once you begin to recognize that and sense it, you will sense it. You begin to realize that anything that you say that stabilizes you, saying, I am that, or I am this, or I can't do that, or I won't do this, are simply statements of you asserting control over this process. But they're not statements of fact. They're not statements which actually tell you who and what you are. You really cannot say who and what you are because it's continually changing by all these processes. So what it does is it gives you a kind of a bubbling self-confidence. It bubbles into your makeup of your life, and you realize, you know, I can be anything I want to be. There's nothing holding me back. Why did I think I wasn't capable of doing that? And the answer is only your thought was keeping you from holding you back. And once your thought becomes part of your regime of life, it forms a kind of a, I would call it a rut, like an alley when you go bowling, those little side ruts on the sides of a where you throw the bowling ball down. What are those things called?
The gutter, the old gutter. Yeah, I hit that many times.
So what you're doing when you're creating thoughts, I can't do this, I won't do that, I'm not going to do that, you're creating gutters in your consciousness, and what happens is that that's your creation. So the mind reinforces your creation over and over again.